The Truth News Network. Maybe the scariest thing there is today is truth in media, especially the news. Get not only the news, but the truth in the news and nothing else. From TNN, the Truth News Network. Without the other guy's spin, here's your host, Dan Newman.
Well, we're not going to scare you today. Nothing to get scared about here. In fact, we're going to play a game. Hello, everyone. I'm Dan Newman, and I am so glad you joined us here today at Truth News Network. Our game we'll play? Let's make a deal. Donald Trump, as an entrepreneur, was famous as a great negotiator of business deals. Everybody knows that. Obviously, he has many wins in his long career. Yes, he had some losses, as do all entrepreneurs. But his wins far outnumbered his losses. And that's what entrepreneurship is all about. Now today, he's not an entrepreneur. He's the president of the United States, a total different animal. As U.S. president, he has in just 2 years put together a very impressive list of deals he has negotiated for the American people that far exceed most, if not every, one of his predecessors. The difference is that the current media seldom give him credit for those negotiated deals, like, and I'll just refresh your memory. You don't know about this if you watch conventional media because they're not reporting on those unbelievable tax cuts, unemployment numbers, gross domestic product numbers, massive increases in federal revenue, historical achievements and success in keeping businesses from leaving the U.S. that attract those who left to return, etc. I did not see or hear a single mention of his signing that bill yesterday that, because of his efforts, reduced the cost of prescription medications for Americans. They didn't even report on it. To that end, there is a question in the air about the current partial shutdown of the federal government. Could Donald Trump, the president and dealmaker-in-chief, have instigated this shutdown for a specific reason other than the obvious one and the one so necessary? To fund a southern border wall and the enhancement of border security? Well, here's a theory about Donald Trump's current let's make a deal. Let me ask you this. Has President Trump suckered Democrats in the deep state into a trap that will enable a radical downsizing of the federal bureaucracy? In only 5 more days of the already longest government shutdown in history, that's 25 days and counting, an obscure threshold will be reached, enabling permanent layoffs of bureaucrats furloughed 30 days or more. Don't believe me that federal bureaucrats can be laid off? Well, in bureaucracies, a layoff is called a RIF, a reduction in force. And of course, it comes with a slew of civil service protections. But if the guidelines are followed, bureaucrats can be laid off, as in no more job. A reduction in force is a thoughtful and systematic elimination of positions. For all practical purposes, a government RIF is the same thing as a layoff. Organizations must stick to predetermined criteria when sorting out what happens to each employee. They must communicate with the employees how and why those decisions are made. In deciding who stays and who goes, federal agencies must take 4 factors into account. 1, tenure. 2, veteran status. 3, total federal civilian and military service, and 4, job performance. Agencies cannot use RIF procedures to fire bad employees. A lot of procedures must be followed, and merit, or performance, is the last consideration, but based on the criteria above, employees already furloughed can be laid off, or RIFed, once they have been furloughed for 30 days or 22 work days under these circumstances. When agencies furlough employees for more than 30 calendar days or 22 discontinuous work days, they must use RIF procedures. An employee can be terminated or moved into other available positions. This seems to be what was referenced in this essay written by an unidentified senior Trump official published in the Daily Caller, which vouches for the authenticity of the author and explains that it is protecting him from adverse career consequences should his name become known. I said his. I should have said his or her, not sure who it was. The purported senior official makes the case that devotion to process eats up most of the time of federal bureaucrats and is also used by enemies of President Trump's initiatives to stymie the legitimate orders issued by his senior officials. Here are summary quips from that essay. On an average day, roughly 15% of the employees around me, and this is that worker, that official speaking, on an average day, roughly 15% of the employees around me are exceptional patriots serving the country. I wish I could give competitive salaries to them and to no one else. But 80% feel no pressure to produce results. If they don't feel like doing what they are told, they simply don't do it. Why wouldn't they? We can't fire them. They avoid attention, plan their weekend, schedule vacation, their second job, their next position. Some do this in the same position for more than a decade. They do nothing that warrants punishment and nothing of external value. That is their workday. Errands for the sake of errands, administering, refining, following, and collaborating one process or another. Process is your friend, is what delusional civil servants tell themselves. Even senior officials must gain approval from every rank across their department, other agencies, and work units for basic administrative chores. Then the senior official notes what I've just called the trap. Most of my career, colleagues actively work against the president's agenda. This means I typically spend about 15% of my time on the president's agenda and 85% of my time trying to stop sabotage, and we have no power to get rid of them. Those officials who waste time and stymie the president's initiatives now are not present because they are not categorized as essential. Due to the lack of funding, many federal agencies are now operating more effectively from the top down on a fraction of their workforce, with only select essential personnel serving national security tasks. The senior official continued, President Trump can end this abuse. Senior officials can reprioritize during an extended shutdown, focus on valuable results, and weed out the saboteurs. We do not want most employees to return because we are working better without them. Keep in mind that saboteurs cannot be individually identified and RIFed, but they can be included in the layoffs if they meet the criteria above in terms of seniority and service, and they must be given 60 days notice. But once they are gone, they are no longer free to obstruct using the process as their friend because they are gone. You can expect lawsuits on every conceivable point, and I suspect that the definition of furlough will be one matter of dispute, this official said. If this was the plan all along, it would explain why President Trump goaded Chuck and Nancy in his televised meeting with them last year, boasting that he would claim credit for the shutdown. How could they resist a prolonged shutdown when he made it so easy to blame him? President Trump has proven that he is a disruptor who changes the framework of thinking on major issues by refusing to accept the givens, the normal way of doing things, the assumptions of how things always have been done and therefore always must be done. That concludes the excerpts from that essay. So who is this senior official? I have no idea. But I think Stephen Miller, you know him. He's the sort of bold thinker who might volunteer to telegraph the strategy just a few days before the deadline. Give Chuck and Nancy something to think about and probably reject as unthinkable. Then they can't complain that they weren't warned once the trap is sprung. Such a mass rift would be the Trump version of Ronald Reagan firing the air traffic controllers. Remember that one? When they went on that illegal strike back in 1981, just a year after Reagan took office. That was completely unexpected by his enemies. Vehemently criticized and very successful. Among other benefits, it taught the leaders of the USSR that Ronald Reagan was a man whose threats cannot be dismissed as mere rhetoric. And if you think that Xi Jinping, Kim Jong-un, Angela Merkel, and any other foreign leaders would not draw the same conclusion from a massive rift in our federal government, then you're kidding yourself. Those are interesting thoughts, interesting ideas, an interesting hypothesis. Got some more thoughts we want to add? You sit tight. We'll be back in 1 minute, right here at the Truth News Network.
Subway Restaurant's Storytime Theater proudly presents Jack and the Beanstalk.
Fee-fi-fo-fum. I smell something delicious. Hey, little fella, what you got there?
Oh, this? It's the Big Hot Pastrami Sub from Subway Restaurants.
Mmm, that does look tasty.
It sure is. Climbing that beanstalk out there makes you hungry.
You mind if I have a bite?
Sure! I'll trade you for that goose over there with the golden eggs.
You got a deal!
Hungry for something big? Then pick up a Big Hot Pastrami Sub from Subway Restaurants. Layer upon layer of delicious hot pastrami stacked high and toasted to flavorful perfection on freshly baked bread. Topped with pickles, mustard, and melted Swiss cheese, it's the perfect way to satisfy any giant-sized appetite. Big Hot Pastrami, available at participating restaurants for a limited time only. See restaurants for details. Subway, eat fresh.
TNN, when only the truth will do.
TNN, the Truth News Network.
We probably have blown some of your minds with this possibility. A Trump, let's make a deal. Well, you know, when you think about it, there's no doubt this shutdown negatively impacts millions across the nation, especially those 800,000 workers that have been forced to the sidelines. But this question remains, how many of those 800,000 really need to be employed by the people? That's right, us, we're their employers. No one knows yet the correct answer to that question. There are certainly many opinions on that, just as there are on all other political issues. But many of those opinions are based not on any factual justification other than they're being filled by working Americans. And the dilemma created if those positions were eliminated, as illustrated above, is simply the creation of unemployed workers. The economics of that hypothetical is far-reaching and uncertain. As the example above discloses, it was made clear that far too many federal workers are not really workers, but have cush jobs with little necessity for their existence other than to find ways to perpetuate their jobs and their retirements, all at taxpayer expense. What would these people do if they were riffed? There's no real all-in-one solution that immediately comes to mind. We've seen in the past the chaos for workers that have been kicked to the curb when too many large companies close up shop in the U.S. headed for tax-friendly, employer-friendly foreign countries. The fix would not be an easy one either. And we far too often have watched the devastating impact rising unemployment numbers have made in this country. That's not even considering the horrors for those out-of-work employees and their families, of course. But wait a minute. Didn't the U.S. Department of Labor issue a report just in the past few weeks that stated there are far more jobs available across the nation than there are people to fill them. Let me say that again. According to the U.S. Department of Labor, statistics prove there are far more jobs available across the nation than there are people to fill those jobs. How many jobs? 6.9 million, to be exact. That number is exact as of January 9th, 2019. Obviously, it would be ridiculous to say, quote, none of those furloughed federal workers will have trouble finding a job. After all, there are 6.9 million of those to choose from. Considerations have got to be made, like job type and location of those empty jobs, employee qualifications, compensation packages, along with benefits, etc. Those considerations would certainly prevent a simple walkover for all of these 800,000 former federal employees. But this highlights a systemic problem that has epidemically grown the federal government into what it is today, a giant bureaucratic monster that devours everything in sight, especially our taxpayer dollars. These numbers further illustrate the picture that entrepreneurs see and use in their pursuit of building new businesses or finding existing businesses that they turn into profitable ones. The fruit of those enterprises is, very simple, profit. That means more revenue than the cost to operate those businesses, like an unnecessary 800,000 employees. While we're talking here, we need to be certain to not lose sight of the specific and stated reason for this partial shutdown. Listen closely. What's the reason for the government shutdown? It's not Donald Trump. It's not his vanity. It's not ridiculous. It's due to the refusal of Democrat members of the House of Representatives to consider and provide funding for the same enhanced border security measures that these same Democrat House members almost in total voted for multiple times, not once, not twice, in some cases three or four times, under previous presidents. To that end, and in closing, let me ask you this. Why has no member of this fantastic American media, and I use fantastic in quotation marks for obvious reasons, why has no one in this mainstream media interviewed Nancy Pelosi and or Chuck Schumer to ask this one simple question? Ms. Speaker and Mr. Minority Leader, why do you not support a southern border wall or barrier today, when in previous congressional sessions you each vocally supported and voted for bills that would have taken these exact same measures? Ms. Pelosi, why is the currently proposed border wall, in your words, immoral, when the border walls you previously voted for that were exactly the same were mandatory and necessary for the safety of Americans? Your words, ma'am, not mine. It's sad enough that they've taken that position solely to prevent this president from achieving another objective, to move the country forward in total disregard of the safety of Americans. To totally ignore the lives of these Americans they each swore an oath to protect is a blight on them, but even more so on the Democrat Party and fellow Democrats in Congress. The statistics that show the hundreds of thousands of serious crimes committed by illegals and Democrat leadership's refusal to implement safety measures to stop it solely for political purposes is reprehensible. I wonder why the national media ignores their flip-flops and will not question Pelosi or Schumer in any national forum. Think about the reports that you have heard that document, quote-unquote, the lies of President Donald Trump. Yet, 100% give Pelosi and Schumer a free pass. Think about it. CNN might get enough viewers to sneak back on top of MSNBC. It would probably take a couple of hundred more viewers for that to happen. Well, that's a wrap here at truthnewsnet.org. Thanks so much for joining us. Lots going on in D.C. in there. We're not going to bore you with stuff that you see and hear about all day, every day. We're watching, we're digging, we're looking for real answers, for real questions, and we'll bring them to you here as we unearth them. Thanks so much for joining us today. Back soon. Stay with us at truthnewsnet.org. So long, everybody.
Real truth, real news. TNN, the Truth News Network.